do you like? Movie podcast hosted by inebriated people. That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Film podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Films podcast where we don't do movie reviews. Nope, space where people like films get together and deal with that shit. Joining me, as always, especially today for our special Halloween episode, my co-host, the scariest thing in the universe, Heather Baxendale. Say hello, Heather.
Hi, Kai. That's probably one of the nicer things you've ever said about me.
I think so, too. Let's spend a moment with me.
Woo!
And now, it's time for A Moment with Heather.
All right, so as typical, every now and then I just hijack this segment for myself, so I'm going to do that today, Heather. I hope you don't mind.
That's fancy.
Thank you. I have a bit of announcement. I have officially started my art business. So this week I went through all the steps to get lined up with the state of California and with the city I live in, and I filed for a business license and a seller's permit and all the necessary blah, blah, blah. And I am officially Kybe Parker, Inc. with a K. So I am now, yeah. So I didn't want to become an LLC or a corporation, and we had some cool names, but the weird thing here is, like, so if you want to start a business, you got to start with the state level, and then you have to go to the county, and then you have to go to your city, right? So if you go to the, if you need to go to the county, the only reason you need to go to the county is if you're getting a DBA, which is doing business as, which is a business that is like a name that is not yours, right? So I hashtag everything I do Kytoons, because I love cartoons, and I like to work my name into shit. Kiderman, yada yada. So I had planned to call the business Kytoons, but the county expects you to pay like $100 and run a four-week ad in a newspaper stating that you're starting a business in order to have it. Or, per state of California, you can just put your fucking name in the business, and then you don't have to do that step. So I came up
with... You know what? I literally just read something about that, too, and I don't know why, but it was California, where someone was trying to start their business, and they had to do that, and they're like... It was just like a series of craziness.
And it was ridiculous. They didn't even know, like, I called the county to get some information, and they were telling me the opposite of what was on their website. They didn't know shit. The city knew more about the county than the county did. So I said, fuck the county. I'm going to go with California's rules, and we threw my name in there. And, you know, we came up with the ink with a K as, like, a shout-out to the drawing stuff, but a way of saying, you know, making it sound really professional. So, Kybe Parker's Inc., and I'm going to hopefully be getting an Etsy shop or some online store and webpage going soon, and hopefully in the new year there will be a place I can send you to buy stuff that I've been putting together to put out, and it should be available soon. So, we will get back to that another time. And that's it. Heather.
That's really awesome. I'm really excited for you. And if you need any help with anything, I would love to help you.
I appreciate that, and I know I can rely on you. We'll definitely need you for a couple things. We can talk about that after the show. What?
Okay, hold on. I just want to note that Kai just said on here recording right now that he knows he can rely on me.
All right, that's time to end the segment. Let's end the segment.
Yep, that was beautiful.
This has been A Moment with Heather.
All right. Oh, Heather. I swear to God.
I'm sorry.
Cough button. Our guest today. Hey, he's an old friend. He's one of our favorites. And he's got a lot of plugs. I'm not going to bother. I'll let him do that in a second. But he's here every year at Halloween, so you should already know who the fuck he is. It's Jason Soto. Say hello, Jason.
What is up, everybody?
What's up, Mr. Cinegamer? Why don't you tell everyone all the shit you do?
Oh, my God. Where do I begin? I got a lot going on right now. Well, first off, let's just start with the old business. I'm still doing The Lair of the Unwanted with my pal and... voiceover specialist for your show, Nolan.
Yeah, we just heard his voice.
Yes, and we started doing The Lair of the Unwanted. It's a bad movie, B-movie podcast. We talk about cult movies, bad movies, whatever, whatever. That can be found at thelairoftheunwanted.com. Secondly, I started a new podcast because I like doing movie reviews, but I also kind of like talking more about like pop culture-y stuff too, like more entertainment news and like the crazy shit that's been going on out of Hollywood lately. And I got some rather funny opinions about that. So I started a podcast called Soto Pop.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Nice.
You play the pun game too, huh?
Yep. Where we, you know, talk about just pop culture stuff and just kind of make fun of it and just kind of goes off the rails a little bit, just if, you know, stuff deviates from original topics, I'm fine with that. I just did my first episode. I had a guest. My guest was DaVern, who's a friend of all of ours.
Yeah.
and we talked about like everything between porn and the whole Harvey Weinstein stuff that's been going on. So it's like a wide range of
Does it have like a format, Jason, or do you just kind of say like there's a lot going on with Harvey Weinstein and let it like evolve like a discussion from there? Or
I just have like I just come to the show with like three topics that I have in mind, and we just kind of bring up the topics and talk about it until we're done, and then we end the show. That's it.
So you'd
That's
be
literally it
with me, because I don't know how to be short-winded. It would be like a two-hour-long episode.
Proof.
And that's point, fine. Right? I mean, the one with me and the Vern is like an hour and a half. So, but yeah, eventually, yeah, I'd love to have you guys on as well, because I know you both are very highly opinionated fellows. So, yeah, you both are more than welcome to come on, either together or separately.
Separately, please. Like, separately.
I was just going to say together. What a piece of shit. Oh.
But anyway, I don't have any kind of URL for that right now. I just started it. So if you just go to Podomatic and iTunes, just look up Soda Pop. One episode is just up there. So just give that a listen.
And it is SOTO.
Correct, yeah. And it's actually based on something that happened to me as a kid. I would get called Jason Soda a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went ahead and just ran with it. So, and the last thing that I'm just going to go ahead and plug, I wrote a book.
I wrote
a book. I wrote a science fiction book on top of that. It's about time travel, so if you're a time traveler,
nice.
You should definitely.
Heather just orgasmed. She liked it so much.
I love time travel.
Yes, I'm familiar with Heather orgasming. I've been there before.
A lot of us have. All right. What is the name of the book?
It's called Time in My Hands. It is on Amazon. You can search it by that or by my name. And, yeah, it's, I've had a very hard time describing it. It's like a TV show, but in a book format, in that there's three short stories that are all, like, related by, like, the same characters and stuff like that. It's a little hard for me to explain it really quickly, but, yeah, I originally conceived it as a TV show, but since my last name's not Kardashian, they won't just give me a TV show.
Yeah.
So I put it into a book format. So it's three stories just about this guy who gets inherited a time machine and he goes off and has adventures. That's basically the short elevator pitch of it. And I've been working on it for 2 years, so I'm very happy that it's done and out there for the world.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. So, go buy my book, both of you, now.
Go buy his book, and he'll prove to you now why he's the kind of person you want to listen and read, because he's a very fun guest, and as everyone that listens to the show knows, today we're going to do the Series 7. We're going to play the game. Before we do all that, we'd like to talk about what we've been watching.
What have you seen lately? What you've been watching? What have you seen?
So, Jason, you're our guest today. Is there a film you have seen recently, hopefully horror, that you feel compelled to speak of?
Yes, actually, yes. I rewatched Jennifer's Body the other day.
Really?
Oh, I was just thinking about that.
Remember when everybody was on that train of her? Like,
the Megan Fox?
No, not that Megan Fox. Well, Megan Fox.
Diablo Cody?
The Diablo Cody train, and Juno became a... It kind of caved in on itself with its popularity because of all the write-on little calls and like the quirkiness of it. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer's Body was the follow-up, and it was so much hype and not a lot of like talk of it after it came out. It wasn't really necessarily well-received. How did you enjoy the viewing?
Well, first off, I will say that this is my second time seeing it, and I did see it when it came out in theaters, so revisiting it was kind of interesting, because I did go, oh yeah, I remember when Diablo Cody was a thing back back a few years ago. I still very much enjoy it. It's, you know, Megan Fox is like always like my number one dream crush girl of all time. And I think she's like smoking hot in this movie. Like,
yeah, she is.
And it's Amanda Seyfried too, who's
yeah, she's in it
as well.
Both of them. Yeah, both of them. Yeah. Appeal to either of those dark and beautiful and nice and naughty.
Exactly. And I still enjoyed it. I still, you know, liked it. Yeah, and yeah, the dialogue, you know, kind of did get annoying a couple of times. But, you know, I was willing to overlook that and just kind of enjoy the story and the horror of it all. And, yeah, I very much still liked it.
I'm glad you say that. I might watch it then. I was thinking about it in the last week, and it was the same thing with me. I saw it when it first came out, and I remember I liked it, but I hadn't thought about it much since then. And mm-hmm. it was one that I just thought, it's been a while. I should give it a revisit, but it wasn't on top of my list. I'll put it on top of my list now. Thank you, Soto.
I was just
you're thinking, welcome.
I was, and we're not bagging on Diablo Cody. She's very talented. I just mean she got so much hype from Juno that it all kind of like it was like a backlash on it. You know what I mean? To the point it's like
okay, there was nowhere she could go but down from there.
Yes, but meanwhile, so I wanted to look at what she did, and it looks like she's getting ready to work on a film called. She wrote a screenplay called Tully, and it looks like she's going to work again with Jason Reitman and God. Why am I blanking on this name? It was literally just in front of me. Bad girl, blonde from freaking Aliens, Prometheus. Come on, Charlize Theron. Jesus Christ. They're getting back together again to do a film, and it looks like she just wrote the screenplay for Barbie.
What?
Barbie the movie apparently is having.
The doll Barbie?
2018, a doll living in Barbie Land is expelled for not being perfect enough and sets off on an adventure in the real world, a live-action feature film based on the popular line of Barbie toys. Now,
okay, I'm in.
Rumored Anne Hathaway rumored. I honestly, we ripped when we heard there was going to be a Lego and an Angry Birds movie, and not to say Angry Birds was great, but like these films have not necessarily all been bad. Like Lego.
I like the Lego movies. The Lego movies have been fantastic.
They have been fantastic. So I guess we got to give her the benefit of the doubt. I every time I see they're doing one of these, which we shouldn't be surprised because the 80s was made of movies that were based on toys.
Yes.
But
true.
At the same time, like, we'll give her the benefit of the doubt on that one. It's just shocking to see that there. So anyway, so would you recommend it, Jason?
Highly recommend it.
Really? I highly recommend. Okay.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I saw a film that I keep seeing this film pop up in my Netflix streaming queue, and you know how that is with horror films and Netflix streaming? It's like complete coin toss. There's so many of them. I've turned on shitty ones that turned out to be great, like Stakeland. I've turned on ones that look great that just turned out to be pieces of shit. So there's one that kept popping up, and a reason I finally decided to go and watch it is because it was directed by, I want to see Mike Flanagan. I may be wrong. I will look that up. Anyway, it's odd because our good friend Steve Bush, who does the music for the show, every segment except for the one Nolan does for us, he had told me a long time, he sent me this movie, and I need to look it up. Oh, God, I'm so unprepared. Anyway, he sent me this movie, and he said he knew the director of the film and that we should have him on the phone. And the film was called, and I actually really liked it, it was called Absentia. Have you ever seen that, Jason?
What's it called? Sorry.
Absentia.
No, I've heard of it.
Oh, I saw it on my Netflix streaming queue,
yeah,
too.
I see that on there all the time, too, but I've not seen it.
Okay, so Steve was saying we should have him on the show because he had some ties to him or knew him in some way. And then that was right around the time Oculus was coming out. I guess that was his follow-up film, his first kind of, like, feature film with the studio.
Oh,
and he went on to do – he did, like, a few films in 2016. He said Before I Wake, he did Ouija, Origin of Evil. And then I saw he had done Gerald's Game, the Stephen King adaptation on Netflix. Mm. I watched that.
That was him?
That was him, and then he did this movie called Hush. So this last
it was good too.
This last week, I actually watched both of them, and I gotta say, I really liked Absentia, his first film. It's really good. I recommend it. But Hush was very good. I don't know that it's an original premise, but it's one that hasn't been overdone too much. It's kind of like guy stalks woman in house who's deaf.
If you've seen it, there's actually a movie that was done a long time ago about it, and it was called Wait Until Dark.
Yes.
And I think it's the exactly same premise. She's blind, blah blah blah, and
oh,
it's a
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one's done, you know, more in the what's happening now with technology and stuff, and applies it to.
That was a brilliant
movie.
That's the one with Audrey Hepburn and Alan Arkin. And I remember they used to do this thing on AMC. Jason, back me up if you remember this too. AMC used to do like the scariest moments. They used to do so much more Halloween shit.
Oh yes.
And near the top was always this scene where like she's in the house and she can't see, and she turns around to walk away, and you see Arkin like jump out of the dark, and it's frightening.
Yeah,
it's a really scary moment. But yeah, so it's a really cool premise. And they play with it really well. And I got to say, Mike Flanagan is a pretty talented director. And I'm gonna reach out to Steve Bush, see if we can get him on the show. I highly recommend checking out that. I also highly recommend checking out Gerald's Game, which is a really interesting. From what I hear, it's much better than Stephen King's story was. But I liked it. It's got Carla Gugino and the captain before Chris Pine took over in the new Star Trek films. The older gentleman. He's very talented. I like him a lot. But it's a good film. I recommend it. If you turn it on Netflix, you see the guy with the mask on. He looks like the Rise of Leslie Vernon a little bit. They do not rely on the mask. It strictly comes off pretty early on. It's not a mask-style movie. It's a lot more esoteric than that. So check it out. I recommend it. Heather, what about you?
I have two. Actually, Hush was on my short list before. I have two that I've seen in the last 2 weeks, though, and you can pick which one. Okay. I watched Raw. And I watch We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Yeah, no, we are going to talk about Raw because I've heard so much shit about Raw. Everybody's walking out saying it's disgusting. You can't tolerate it. It's gross. It's so blah. People throwing up in cinemas. And now it's on Netflix streaming, and I want to, but I don't want to vomit.
Okay, I don't remember if I watched it there or Amazon, but I think it was Netflix because Red told me, or Red posted, hey, everyone, guess what? Raw is finally on Netflix. And I was like, okay, I'm watching this now. And it took me like 4 hours to watch because of subtitles and I have a little person. So, but it was worth it. I thought as an entire film, it was really good. I just saw it as kind of like a wacky, fucked up coming of age film. Honestly, that's what I got from it.
Give a little background. It's basically about a girl that's like raises a cannibal.
No, not even at all. She's actually a vegetarian and she, it starts off. Yeah, she's a vegan, and she starts off getting dropped off to veterinary school, and she goes there. Her sister's already been there for a year or so, and they have all this crazy, like, hazing and initiation stuff going on, and it's kind of bizarre. And it's European, so I kind of just went, all right, maybe it's that culture that it's this extreme, or it's being exaggerated for the premise of the film, whatever. But it seemed a bit extreme for me. However... one of the things that they do for hazing, I think they eat like a rabbit's liver or something of the nature, and she flips out like, there's no way I'm going to do this. But somehow she develops the taste for raw meat and real meat. And yes, it proceeds and gets further on with it and blah, blah, blah. But it's more, I think, about her trying to assimilate to all the people around her. She's much smarter than her class. In fact, she actually gets ostracized by one of her professors for being smarter than the rest of the kids. And I thought it was funny. I don't know if it was supposed to be funny, but there were lots of parts that were really funny to me. Like, I was amused. There was a part that I probably was, like, kind of shocking and grotesque to some people, but I found it to be darkly humorous.
Jason, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Have you seen it, Jason?
No, I have not. I haven't seen it yet.
I wanted to see if anybody else is getting the same vibe as Heather. Please continue, Heather. I'm sorry.
Okay. And I don't want to tell too much more because basically, the ladder it takes to get up to the end, all of these individual events are kind of important to not know what's happening. But the relationship with her sister is kind of where you start to see the cannibalist side start to unveil. And again, I think it's just more of a coming-of-age film. And some of the shocks in it are pretty good. There's only one part that I found to be kind of gross, and I think it was more of a personal irritation. It involved gnawing on a finger, and it had to do with the sound, and I have an issue with people that chew with their mouths open or chew loudly anyway. Yeah, I like literally if I ever go to jail for murder for something crazy and irrational, it's because someone was chewing loudly next to me.
There should be a mouth breather law that just is not allowed. It's not allowed.
Yeah, all that stuff. I mean, I literally start to lose my mind and unravel. So it had more.
Oh, we lost her right in the middle of it. So Jason, have you heard about Raw?
I think I saw it on Netflix every time I log on. I think I do see it there, but I haven't actually seen it yet. I might check it out though.
Well, Heather will join us again shortly. Sorry.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. So. As she fades in and out. Yeah. We don't know what's going on, guys. We've had technical issues the last couple of weeks. Hopefully, by the end of the year, we'll have this all figured out. We definitely need some new electronics in here. I'll say that. I heard about Raw, and people were puking at the screenings. People were walking out. People were, like, kind of condemning it. But, like, I've seen that kind of shit happen before. It's like people passing out in fucking Blair Witch Project or Cloverfield.
Right,
and
right.
Like, fucking, come on. Like, I get some people are sensitive to, like, movement and things like that. But, like, when I hear puking in, like, a movie that involves cannibalism, I get a little weary. You know, you'll go a little further into certain films. There's only a handful of films I probably won't see, and Cannibal Holocaust is one of them. There's something about where it gets a little too gross, and if it doesn't do that, and if it, even if it's like, I was curious to ask Heather if it's a bit of a play on the whole lifestyle of a vegan, if it's like kind of playing off that theme, I'd be interested to see it. But if it's just like, you know, gross for the sake of gross, I'm not sure I want to like expose my eyes to that. I don't know. As I get older, my opinions on these things are changing. I'm starting to feel like an old man, Jason. But I have no doubt you will see Raw. Am I wrong?
No, I will check it out. I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm actually scrolling through Netflix now, trying to find it.
Oh, cool. That's why you've been absent from the show. All right, well, this brings us to the end of the segment. I'm going to say that Heather's going to recommend Raw, and she can verify that when she comes back. We'll go find her during the break. So you recommend your movie. What's your movie again, Jason?
It was Jennifer's Body.
That's correct. And I am recommending Hush and just about anything by Mike Flanagan, for that matter. And
I agree.
And Heather recommends Raw?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I want to ask you one more question before I move on. We have to move on because of time. But
yes.
Are they playing on a theme of the veganism? Is that like play into it? Is it like, you know, working on a deeper level with regards to that? Or is it just a horror film?
I think it's more of a coming-of-age horror film. Okay. But I think that's really it. I don't think the veganism is necessarily not the way I interpret it anyway. Okay. So, no.
Well, I apologize for cutting you off, Heather, but we're going to move on to the next segment.
That's
so,
fine.
This brings us to the end of what we've been watching. It's time to do the Serious 7. Here's some music about that.
Hey, you better listen up. It's time for the Serious 7, so shut the fuck up.
All right, it's time for the Series 7. These are 7 film-related questions generated to discuss opinions on film and pop culture. These questions can be interpreted however you want. You can make a joke of them, be serious, do whatever you want. I really don't give a shit. Just try to be entertaining, for fuck's sake. People are listening. All right, so, Jason, question number one. Halloween edition. What? And Heather writes these. Heather has been in charge of writing these questions, and she's not been doing a bad job. I didn't say a good job. I said not a bad job, and that's as much as I'm going to give her. What Halloween/horror movie would you cast yourself in the lead role as?
All right, well, we're in this day and age now where Hollywood seems to take stuff from other cultures and whitewashes it and puts in, you know, white people in the main role. So I would cast myself as Blackula.
Really?
That's awesome.
You got that swagger. I feel like you could pull that off. Did I just say swagger? Will somebody slap me? At least I didn't say swag.
I'll slap you.
Okay. But later.
Okay. Woohoo.
All right, Blackula. I like it. Did we lose Jason now? He just disappeared.
No, oh, I'm here.
No, he just wanted to say Blackula and be done. Okay. All right, sounds good.
Well, I mean, I figured that just stood on its own.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it was a great answer. Mine was easy. Heather thinks I look like Alan Tudyk, so I got to start in Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
God damn it. That was my choice because I wanted to be in a movie with Alan Tudyk. And I love that movie.
Yes.
I immediately, when I saw that question, I started, I went to IMDb and looked up Alan Tudyk and Emilio Estevez to see, so it was either going to be that or the fucking Maximum Overdrive or something like that, but.
No. Oh, Maximum Overdrive, you have to do all the cocaine if you were in that, though.
I wouldn't even have to be into it to do all the cocaine. I would just do all the cocaine. Let's just do all the cocaine.
Let's do all the cocaine, guys.
Cocaine. Yeah,
let's do it. I'm in.
Was that really your answer, Heather?
Yeah, it was really my answer.
Okay, she doesn't need to say more. She said
That's
everything
it.
She has said. Heather will be joining us on and off throughout the show. Please enjoy as we continue.
Yeah. I said Alien.
Okay, I like that one. I'll let you go first since we have you on the phone currently. Question number 2. Name a couple horror movies you think are most plausible in our universe, in real life, I suppose, right?
Yes. I think those are the ones that you could actually see happening, that make some sort of realism in the world that we live in and haven't created their own universe.
Yeah.
And for that, I thought 28 Days Later was probably the most reasonable of the zombie. Let's please not argue whether it's a real fucking zombie movie or not.
Nobody here going to fight you.
In that particular realm, that one I think is a solid one. And I love the premise of it too, just kind of waking up and the world is gone. I think Paranormal Activity is a perfect example of that, and that was the whole intent of Paranormal Activity. Whether you like the movie or not, or it's your cup of tea, I think it was done very well by using basic things that might scare all of us on a normal day, that are unexplainable events. Mm-hmm. And I actually chose The Strangers as another one.
Yeah.
It's definitely, goes to the grotesque at a certain point, but the actual setup of how everything happens, that and Funny Games, both of those I think fall into that kind of category, to where, you know, just crazy people come and take over your house and your family. There are nutso people in the world, and I don't think that that's impossible at all. So those are the ones that I came up with.
Yeah, that's it. Hush is very similar in a certain regard, other than it kind of plays more on like the fact that she doesn't have hearing. But yeah, I agree with all that. I had 28 Days Later, not necessarily for the zombie-est aspect of it, but like at some sort of God, it's probably more less than likely, but some sort of plague spreading or sickness spreading, like a mad cow disease for humans. I suppose in some regard may be somewhat viable. I was actually the first thing I thought of was something that a movie Chris Pine did. I don't know if you've seen this one, Jason. It's called Carriers.
I've heard of it, but I've not seen it.
Okay. Have you seen it, Heather?
No, I haven't.
So he's basically just traveling the countryside. I think it's him and his brother. I haven't seen it in a few years, but it's like essentially everyone got sick and died from this thing, and the presence of the sickness is still very present. So they travel around with masks and wearing suits, and in the car it's all taped up. And they come in contact with a husband and a kid, a man and a child. And I believe, I want to say it was Christopher Maloney. God, it's been a while. But basically they are tentative of them, don't want to take them on because the sickness is still very real, the infection. So kind of that navigating a world where a virus is still active and has wiped out most of humanity and trying to survive in that environment. That seems very realistic to me, as does... I don't know if you guys consider this like horror, and it's probably not, but the idea, especially now with all this bullshit with North Korea, the idea of something like The Road. There's the scene where they go in the house, and there's the people that have become, rather than scavengers, they become, you know, cannibals. I think that aspect of that type of living would have a face in that world, so I think that stuff is scary and realistic, and it could happen, and you know. There's probably other ones I could have picked, but those are the ones that seem realistic to me. What about you, Jason?
I think probably just because I did like a whole marathon of them last week for the Lambcast. I think the Saw movies are plausible. I think some engineer guy can just like kind of go crazy, decide to get back at society, and just design all these very elaborate traps to trap people in, and just find like very mechanical, clever ways to kill people.
I think, well, like you could, you could extrapolate that to some sort of like inventive serial killer, essentially.
Yeah, but like Saw's like probably the best example because of the very elaborate traps. And again, I've seen like all the movies like all in a row. Like very recently, so like it's very interesting doing it that way to see like the, you know, evolution of all the traps, you know, starting from the first one. It was just two dudes shackled in a bathroom, and then eventually went on to like five people tied around the neck, and if four of them move, a blade comes down, and all this crazy shit that's going on in the movies. But yeah, you know, there are some very most serial killers are, you know, say what you want, they tend to be very like smart and know, like, you know, can do shit like
that. Yeah, all of them have most of them have genius IQs. It's extremely common for them. Yeah, they're extraordinarily intelligent, and they have grotesque, you know, violent, strange eating brains and stuff like that too. So yeah, you're not wrong with that.
Right, so, you know, it's not, you know, too far off that some engineer, a guy with an engineering degree who can design, you know, crazy-ass traps, you know, could, like, become a serial killer or start catching people, locking them up in rooms, and now it's like, well, you can get out, but you're going to have to figure out how to maneuver this chain around your leg, around this blade, and you might have to cut your fingers off to get out, like, you know, shit like that, you know, so I think that could be plausible.
Well, great, because I work with engineers, and now I'm fucking scared. And I work with this guy, Chet, and I swear to God, he's about to break. He's about to go down. And he listens, so he'll appreciate that. Okay, yeah, I like that. I like that one a lot. Let's go on to question number three. Do we have Heather with us?
Well, am I here?
Well, yeah, we're going to use you if you're here. So, yeah, let's start
I'm
with
here.
You.
All right.
Heather likes her FMKs. She's a big fan of the FMKs. The FMK, for those you don't know, fuck, marry, kill. You got to choose. Mm. We give you three choices. So, Heather... I changed yours around a bit. I gave you The Bride of Frankenstein, Carrie, and the chick from The Ring who has a name that I can't recall currently. What is it? Is it Samara?
Yeah, it's Samara.
Okay, Samara from The Ring.
Okay, so I'd marry her because pretty and, you know, nice. That's the one that's the mom, right?
Samara? No, it's little.
No, it's
chick
the little
that
girl.
Calls LOL.
Yeah.
Not Natalie Watts, dude.
Oh, no, 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 no. Okay, that changes everything for me then. Okay, so I definitely marry the Bride of Frankenstein because she's already showing that she's committed and willing to get married. So that's cool. Plus, awesome hair. I was going to kill Carrie. Yeah, I'm still going to kill Carrie because she's a virgin and she's crazy. And I don't think that that would be fun to bang at all. Nothing. No. Bad. Bye. Die, Sissy Spacek. So, kill her. And, yeah, I guess I would fuck the crazy girl climbing out of the TV because crazy girls are always good in bed. There we go.
All right. Indeed. Well, we're two of a feather, Heather. I said marry the bride because, duh, it's fucking in her job title. by the way, and I like your hair, too. Go online and check out some of the pinup art of, like, Bride of Frankenstein. That bitch is hot, man, I'm telling you. I would kill Carrie. She seems like the wholesome one you want to marry, like, if you're on a good side. But if that bitch just, like, flips on you one day, like, you're done, man. Like, you get in a fight over, like, did you leave the toilet seat up again? And then you're, like, floating in the air with your neck breaking and, like, fuck that shit. You ain't gonna do it again, are you, motherfucker? So I would kill her like you, and you fucked a chick from The Ring because the crazy chick's always the best in bed. Exactly. So let's have a little moment with Heather since I'm not gonna go too deep into mine. Why would I pick two monsters and then Naomi Watts from The Ring? Why?
I don't know. I actually didn't read Bride of Frankenstein anyway. I read Frankenstein. So you just saying it back to me changed the whole entire scenario anyway.
So I picked Frankenstein, Carrie, and Naomi Watts from The Ring. And that was an odd deal.
You're a weird dude, Kai.
All right, let's go to Jason. Jason, what about you, buddy?
I don't know how to follow that. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm with you guys. I would marry Bride of Frankenstein because it's in the name. I would fuck Carrie, but she's on her period, so I think I would just marry her instead. And then just get some hand stuff every now and then. And then, I guess I would have to risk the jail time and fuck the girl from The Ring.
We didn't account for that.
If you guys realize, she's actually like a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's true. And it's like a necrophilia, too. It's like a couple of like felonies going on there. I didn't even pass that through my head when I was writing this.
So, but
felonious fellatio.
But why not?
No,
that's my answer.
I take it back. Heather was right. It was Naomi Watts. That's what I meant.
Yeah, see? Naomi Watts.
We were doing the legal woman of age for this, not the young 14-year-old girl. Okay.
Then yes, I would definitely fuck Naomi Watts. Just in general.
Yes.
Just in general.
I was wondering why you were giving me such a lovely choice.
All right. Heather.
Yes.
What makes a movie scary for you?
I know a lot of, like, the jump out and scary stuff and torture porn, that does nothing for me. I mean, it's not, it's almost boring. I'm just like, blah, okay. I like stuff that leaves me to my own wiles, my own imagination is far worse than anything else could ever come up with. And movies, like, even Paranormal Activity, where you can't quite see things that aren't there, unexplainable stuff that, in the realm of plausibility. Those things I know that aren't as attractive to a broader audience, but it's definitely the stuff that tends to linger with me. But in general, even those don't scare me too much. It's hard for me to get scared. I don't know if it's because I'm desensitized to it all or I've just never really been scared of scary movies.
Same here, actually.
Yeah, my wife is constantly telling me I'm desensitized. I don't know if that's the case, because even now as I get a little older, I find myself shying away from watching quite as brutal stuff as I would have before. This is why I'm hesitant about something like Raw, where in the past I would have ran out to seek it out to a certain extent. Now I've seen a lot of bad things, not just like in movies, but in life, man. Like, just bad shit happens, and I don't necessarily... I'm choosing not to expose myself to it because I want to keep my morale up in general, but like... The fact of the matter is, like, a lot of it's just watered down copycat bullshit. When a torture porn movie comes along that is good, and it's of fucking value, I will seek it out and find it and watch it. I think the original Saw got thrown into that, and I would argue that's a great thriller, and I would love to watch that movie again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily need to run out and see Jigsaw because I know what I'm going to get. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's kind of it too. It's not like it's actually, you know, there's a lot of, I think, intentional scary movies are there for the shock value, to shock people, and I can't be shocked, so it doesn't have any impact on me because it's so one dimensional.
Well, that's what I went for. Like, I think that's where the lack of good filmmaking, they overdo it on that side with the shock and the blood, and that we understand you can use shock and blood, and you can overdo shock and blood and awe to an extent where you're you know, taking advantage of it and making fun of it almost, and overdo it and still have something that's interesting. You can machete something.
I mean, I would say even, like, one of the most horrific scenes in a movie for me ever was watching Seven and seeing the fucking box. You never actually see Gwyneth Paltrow's head. You never see that. And so many filmmakers would make the mistake of showing that part.
David Fincher was brilliant in
the fact that you just saw, like, a strand of blonde hair sticking to the top. There wasn't even necessarily blood. I mean, the idea of it being there, I almost threw up because I was so just shocked and sick from the thought
That's not the one that creeps me out in that movie. I'd say there's a couple in there. I'd say they're all actually kind of creepy, and they all paint the picture in your head. They don't show you shit.
And it lingers with you later. You're sitting there still thinking about it.
Well, and I feel like you got to earn your scares. So, like, one of the things I wrote down is suspense. I think Jaws is a lot scarier than a lot of other horror films just because they build suspense. I think Hitchcock did suspense really well. I think, you know, Paranormal is a great example. They stick you in that room, and it's dark, and it's quiet, and it's just like your living room when you got to go out and get milk in the middle of the night or try to fall asleep with the fan going in the background. And then there's just that little noise or that little movement, and that builds suspense and terror, and I like that. I would also say that Blair Witchy mockumentary-style filmmaking, I like that too. The problem, again, it's become watered down, but there's examples of it, like Paranormal, like Blair Witch, where it's used in a manner that's, like, somewhat realistic to the point where it gives it a little bit more fear because it seems like it's something that could happen nearby. So those two kind of do it for me. How about you, Jason?
For me, I kind of find home invasion stuff really kind of creepy and kind of freaks me out. A good example of it, well, you mentioned The Strangers earlier. That's one really good example of it. But another one I point out to is the Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Yeah. You've mentioned which, it. You've sent me this one. I still have not watched it.
Really?
Yeah.
That was like 5 years ago.
I know.
So, okay, just really quickly. I know we're low on time. Just really quick. It's a found footage movie / mockumentary about the serial killer who video recorded all of his, like, murders, like, on tape. And the movie shows, like, these tapes. And one of the creepier scenes in the movie is this guy, he's going after his victim, a college girl. And she's home alone. And so you see him breaking into the house. And then he hides the camera, goes into a closet, while the girl then walks in front of the closet several times. And that freaks me the fuck out, just thinking, like, somebody is, like,
you feel alone
mere
in
inches.
The safety of your house, and they're, like,
right,
and recording you at the same time.
Exactly. Like, that just creeped me the fuck out. So, shit like that, like, always unnerves me.
I come in the house, and I just go to every closet when I get home. I just make sure. I do it once over.
I've talked to my soon-to-be brother-in-law about this before. I'm like, sometimes I will do sweeps of the house.
Yeah.
talk to people that aren't there. I, like, literally will clear rooms from floor to ceiling. And I periodically do that every once in a while. But it's not necessarily a ridiculous thing to do, because that kind of stuff does actually happen, which, as you pointed out, Jason, is exactly why it's kind of scary.
And you want to hear something a little creepy?
Sure.
I live in an apartment building, and the maintenance people have keys to our apartments.
Oh, yeah.
I had that in my old apartment. Actually, it was creepy because the maintenance guy kept purposely breaking my toilet so he could come back.
No way.
Yeah, right. She shits every 7 days, and I bet she just bombed that fucker and broke it. tried to blame it on the maintenance guy.
The one time I wasn't even there. I think I was in Chicago, actually, for for a marathon, and I came back, and my toilet didn't work. It happened like 3 times in a couple months. He kept trying to ask me out whenever he came over to fix it, too. It was awful, but I'm 90% sure that he was breaking my freaking toilet and going into my apartment when I wasn't there. Well, I'm sure I wasn't the only one.
All right. I guess that's a little creepier. So
don't really know how to segue on this one. So let's just go to question number 5.
Woman's awesome. Woo!
Heather, you wrote this, and it's like, I don't like talking about myself in third person. Why don't you read this question off, and then you can let Jason go first.
Okay. Kai doesn't like rape scenes or movies with Jesus. What kind of torture or blasphemy gets to you?
That's not even what it says, and that's not even the truth.
Okay. I'm not reading it in the email. I'm reading it how I wrote it down in my notes.
Oh, Jesus. I would love to see your notes. I bet her notes look like a serial murder note, like a kidnapping note.
I bet. It looks like John Doe from Seven's notes.
Yeah, okay, so she said that I do get unnerved by rape scenes. I'm not a fan of rape scenes. And she wrote Jesus religious movies. I guess that you could count like Jesus Camp and shit like that as, or even those culty style movies. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those. But so what is it for you, Jason, that gets under your skin?
I just love the Jesus religious stuff.
Yeah, it's Heather.
Okay, there's two things that I really, 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 really do not like, and that is needles and anything getting close to my eyes.
Yes.
Oh, me too. That's good mine.
One. Good one.
And so there's and a good example is in Zombie, which is like an Italian ripoff of Dawn of the Dead. There's this very long scene of a zombie grabbing this girl's head and slowly shoving her to this splinter of wood that's by a door, and it's going towards her eyeball, and the scene is like 5 minutes long, and I was just so uncomfortable during those 5 minutes because I'm like, oh my god, just do it already, just fuck me, just go, and I can't stand anything near my eyes, and I can't stand needles, and if both of those things ever get combined, I'm out of the room.
Yeah. I've got, like, I said this one before, excessive stabbing. Like, there's a part of the part in Scream when they have to stab themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, it just the sound that they use in that film, like, drives me nuts. and then the one thing I hate, and I'll give you an example of this that I just stumbled on accidentally. Anything with fingernails. Like, don't touch my fucking fingernails. So the other day, I'm watching, don't ask why, it was just, like, so I don't go to the theater a ton. I used to do Netflix, DVDs in the mails. Now I just do Redbox when I feel like doing it because I don't quite have as much time to watch films. But, like, now I'm a little so far behind that, like, new movies that were just out in theaters are now on HBO already, and I haven't seen them yet. So I was like, oh, it's like getting a fucking free rental. So Rings was on, which is the sequel to The Ring, starring Naomi Watts and an underage girl that I would never think about in an incorrect way. And
me either.
In that movie, again, they have the videotape that you watch, which means you're going to die in 7 days, correct? Remember?
Yes.
Okay, so they cut through different shots in that little video you watch. It's just like a ladder, and it's like an island. It's like a woman. It's like a thing. There is a scene of a finger pushing down on a nail, the nail going up through the finger and pushing the fingernail up off of the hand but not disconnecting it, and I about fucking died. Can't stand that. Don't fuck with my nails. Don't rip them off. Don't even cut them too short. Don't even cut them too short. Leave a little bit white there at the tip. Can't do it.
That's
Won't
a
do
little
it.
Weird, Kai.
You I'm like that
I
shit?
I know this about you now. Oh, okay. It doesn't bother me at all, but, I mean, I was married to someone who works with their hands. He was a mechanic for 10 years, so his nails were always getting bashed. I mean,
no, I don't mind that. I've had that happen. I just don't want to watch somebody. It happens in, like, war movies, too, where they do prison of war. Like, the first thing they do is start ripping, like, fingernails and toenails out.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
I don't like that shit. Well, then you're fucking wrong. And by the way, I work, too, and I work in a manly field, so fuck off.
That's why I assumed it probably bothered you, though.
You make it sound like I can't hang a hangnail. Oh, if she went out, did we lose her on the call? She's still there?
Oh, probably.
The sweet silence. Do you hear that, Jason? Isn't that nice?
I actually...
Oh, shit.
I actually thought... Do you hear me now?
Yeah, we got
yes.
you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that one lasted a little while. I actually thought that it probably bothered you because of that, because you probably had something happen to your finger where you're like... You know, shot your finger with a nail gun or something, and yucky.
No, you want to hear yucky? I'm just going to throw a quick story in here for you two, okay? So, and everyone listening at home. I just got an email, a company-wide email from someone with our company that said, be careful out there. Now, I worked for years in construction around large equipment, like the bulldozers and the scrapers and the loaders and the excavators and all that stuff. And you always have to be very careful, even if you don't know. You have to have physical acknowledgement from drivers of large equipment that they see you and recognize you and will stop in your presence so that you can do what you have to do to get by them, right? And you never get in their way. Some guy sent a company-wide email out today that said, be careful, and said, this is from a job site in Santa Clarita. No warning whatsoever. Picture of a guy flattened, rolled over by like a bulldozer on the ground. Company-wide. And he did not even mark a graphic. That was fucking jarring to me. That was fucking extremely jarring. That's another thing I don't like. Sorry, I don't even know why I went down the path. Heather, what's yours? Oh, we lost her again.
I have lost her.
I talked her right off the show.
Yep, good job, Kai.
Should we enjoy the silence a little more?
How about now?
Oh, shit. Every time I go to enjoy the silence. What's yours, Heather?
I also have eyeball issues, which is really funny because I've worn contacts since I was 12 years old, and me touching my eyeballs like freaks people out all the time. That doesn't bother me. However,
I can't do it. I can't. Nope, I can't do contacts.
But I can't. Well, I can't do glasses. But I can't. I cannot see something happen to somebody's eyes.
I don't know, Heather. I think you'd be really hot with glasses.
I wear glasses. I just have a hard time with my prescription so bad. I have a really hard time with peripheral vision, and I've been so used to wearing contacts for so long that it's a really weird, awkward adjustment because my prescription is so bad.
You know what's odd though? Like, okay, so my grandma, God rest her soul, she died end of 2015, year before last. For the last several years of her life, she was going blind in one eye and she was losing sight in the other, so they were trying to save it. She would go for, I forget if it was weekly or monthly, eye injections where they would sit her on a table
and lower the eye right
in there. And I don't know how you do it. I mean, they kind of blind you and give you medicines and everything, but there's no nerves in your eye, so it doesn't hurt. It's just, but I can imagine, like, what if you sneezed?
See, thanks. You just made us really uncomfortable.
So anyway, hey, Kai, I think you need to move along because time and stuff.
You're right. Time.
Let's go.
Question number six. Jason, if you could have a movie ghost come visit you for one night, who would it be?
This was a very easy answer for me. The ghost that gave Dan Aykroyd a blowjob in Ghostbusters.
Oh, my God. That's a fantastic answer. Well, I'm an artist, so I went Swayze. We can do some fucking ceramics. Maybe I'll show him how to draw a Mickey Mouse or some shit. That'd be fun. What about you, Heather?
Mine was Beetlejuice, because I think we'd get into a ton of mischief together and trouble, and it would be fun.
You could tell him you're the host, the co-host with the most.
Fucking right. There you go. Too bad I wasn't clever enough to come up with that on my own.
Well, everybody, Heather said it. She wasn't clever. So, question number seven, we'll start with her since she's here. We talk about the best zombies and vampire movies, etc., but what is the best witch-themed horror films, Heather?
There isn't a lot of these, and I'd say the ones that do exist are, some of them are just pretty terrible in general. And as little girls, like, thinking of, like, creepy and scary movies, you kind of want witches to be cool and awesome or scary or something. But what actually ignited my thinking about this was revisiting The Witches. It was an early 80s movie that I, or maybe it was mid-80s, movie that I absolutely adored when I was a kid, and it was quite good. And then obviously Hocus Pocus, but I went and searched and I really couldn't find, aside from Witches of Eastwick, too many other ones that I found to be inspirational. So I was curious if you guys had any that you could bring to light. So
Blair Witch Project, done. Jason?
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of horror witch movies. Yeah, Blair Witch is one. So if I want to take out the horror part and just do favorite witch movie.
Yeah, that's fine.
It would have to be Teen Witch.
Top that. I have The Craft.
I can't because I've never seen it, so I don't know.
Wait, whoa. Back the fuck up.
You heard me.
You guys have not seen Teen Witch?
Wait, which one's Teen Witch? Is that the one with the one they did the show on?
Sabrina?
No.
Oh, because I've seen that. I liked that show.
Oh, my God. I am about to awaken both of you.
I
have no idea what path your lives are about to go down on. I'm going to give you some homework. You need to go track down Teen Witch. It's a late 80s movie, I believe. The only famous person in it, I think, is Zelda Rubinstein, who is the psychic lady from Poltergeist.
1989, Teen Witch, high school misfit Louise at a loss for romance discovers magical abilities, but the teenage witch finds that she cannot conjure herself true love. So what?
Most amazing movie in the world. It's like a musical, but it's not. I don't know how, like, there's these moments in the movie where they just start singing, like, 80s, like, kind of poppy rap songs, but then it goes back to being, like, a normal movie for, like, 45 minutes, and then there's another song that pops up out of nowhere, and then it's a really, I don't know, it's just a crazy movie. It's amazing, and I am going to command that both of you just watch it as soon as possible.
Okay. You know what? Have me on your show. We'll do it on your show.
I think I already covered it on my show.
Well, we'll do it again. You would recognize the witch. She's the redheaded 80s actress. She still acts, I believe, but she was in the
Robin Lively?
Yeah, she was in the Karate Kid Part 3. She was his yeah, so there's that. Okay.
It looks pretty special. It looks like it needs a lot of hugs.
It's amazing. Yes, we did cover it. We covered it on episode number 125 of The Lair of the Unwanted. So you can go to thelairoftheunwanted.com and check that out.
We already did plugs. We'll get back to that at the end. Shut the fuck up. All right. So shout out to the craft. All right. So this brings us to the end of Series 7. Jason, you want to do an impression for us? You know we have this theory that everyone does a bad celebrity impression. You've done several. You're here, man. I mean, you might as well, right?
Okay, I thought I've talked about this and saying that I've been a guest on this show several times.
Yeah, yeah.
And you always try to get me to do an impression, but I'm not good at it. I'm running out. I'm basically running out of people.
Do your
that
early ones. Nobody listens to fucking episode 10.
I could legitimately do without offending anyone. I really didn't really think about this part, to be quite honest with you.
You want me to give you one to do? And you could just do your best, and then we'll end on that?
I'm dying here. Yes, let me hear one.
I want to hear... I want to hear three sentences from Donald Trump on his opinions on Teen Witch.
Teen Witch is fabulous. It is the most fabulous movie I've ever seen. And it would have been way more better if I was in the movie. and if I was in the movie, my hands would be huge. I'd have huge hands in the movie to conjure up all the magic. And magic is fake news. Fake news. Magic is just fake news.
It actually isn't bad. Typical Trump fashion. You give him three sentences, it takes eight. So there you go. All right. This brings us to the end of time. It's time... Blah, blah, blah. What did I just say? It brings us to the end of the segment. It's time to play the game. Let's go do that, you guys.
The game. Don't blow it, the game.
All right, so the game is simple, Jason. I have chosen three films. For each film, I will give you seven clues taken from IMDb that include the year and genre of the film, actors of the film, tagline, director. If you get it on the first clue, you will get 7 points. Second clue, 6 points, so on down. Perfect score would be 21. Probably won't happen. We say that if you score 12 or better, you've done pretty dang good. Now, I don't know if you've been on since we've installed a bit of a time limit. We're a little loose with it, but like, if you go on too long, I will move you on to the next clue for the sake of
time.
Fine. And I believe, did you score 21 or was it a 20? You've done well on this.
I think I got a 20 once, but after that, I've gotten like 19.
I believe we had 121, and it was,
really?
I thought it might have even been you, but it was very lucky. Like, it was like strangely lucky. But, yeah, we've had it happen once, but you've had one of our better scores of all time. You've been on the Tournament of Champions. Here's your chance to return, sir. So,
yep.
Your first film for 7 points is a 1996 crime drama thriller.
Okay.
The most generic, especially in the mid-90s, ragtag.
You said crime drama thriller?
Yes.
Okay, wow. 1996 crime drama thriller. I know you like when like people talk stuff out instead of silence as they think, because it's a podcast and you got to have audio noises.
Heather's not even here. We got to fill in for her
stuff, right? Normally she would just be saying stuff about unicorns and pooping in cereal, but she's not here at the moment. So I'm gonna go with Fargo.
I poop all the time.
I didn't hear. I heard I poop all the time. What did you say?
My answer is Fargo.
Fargo is correct for 7 points.
Yes!
What?
That is correct.
Wow.
He's good. He's done this before. He's not a bad player. All right. Good luck with this one.
Okay.
Oh, no, this isn't the one I'm worried about. Good luck with the next one. For 7 points, this is a 1997 comedy fantasy horror.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit. Comedy fantasy horror. So you're... All right. Okay, so you're getting this off of IMDb. They normally list the main genre.
That's what
genre.
He's doing. He's talking so we don't hear his keystrokes as he Googles first. This shit.
No, I really am trying to talk this out.
Okay. I'll let you. You keep talking, I'll let you go longer.
1997 comedy fantasy horror. Okay. This is a long shot, but I'm going to go with Jack Frost.
That is incorrect. That is the right time for him. That's good. I like that. For 6 points, Julie Bowen is in this movie.
Like the chick from Modern Family?
Yeah, she used to do movies. She used to do a lot of movies. I don't remember her in this movie.
Okay. Well, I don't know of any movies she was in, so I'm just going to go with Jack Frost 2, Snowman in Paradise.
Come on, Jason. She was in Happy Gilmore. You got to at least know that one, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. The tagline of this film is, and this is kind of a giveaway, I think, things are about to get a little hairy.
Oh, fuck. Is this really? An American Werewolf in Paris.
For 5 points, it is American Werewolf in Paris. How is that a comedy? It's funny how bad it was.
Because it's laughable that they made a sequel to like one of the greatest werewolf movies of all time.
Okay. Now, first of all, I want you to remind you, our new thing with the show, if you haven't been listening, Jason, is I like to kind of I pick three movies that have a bit of a theme in some way.
Okay.
So they might all be horror, or they might all start with the letter G, or, you know, they might say Heather sucks balls in some way. But that's so. Now that we're coming to the last one, I don't know if you've ever seen this film. I don't know if you recall it, but I want to give you a little heads up. I've done that with guests before you, so there you go. Your final film for 7 points is a 2007 crime mystery thriller.
Wait, what? 2007 crime mystery.
Yes.
Thriller. And you said there's a theme. So I got to somehow tie Fargo and American Werewolf in Paris.
I want you to say, too, I have now gotten good with the themes where I didn't tell people their theme because it would give it away before, but now I tell them it's theme because I know it'll throw them off.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Crime mystery, 2007? Could this be... was that 2007? Fuck's that called? Oh my god, the movie I think Clint Eastwood directed is about the kid thrown in the water. What the fuck was that called?
The kid going in the water?
No, it was like a baby got thrown in like a river or something.
Oh, Mystic River?
Well, that's clearly not it then, because you just said the answer, so that's probably not it.
For 6 points, Terrence Howard is in this film, and if Heather's on the line, she can do her little rule that she knows, but I don't even know if she's with us.
Terrence Howard.
Nope.
All right. Let me think about all the Terrence Howard movies.
You're all Iron Man and Hustle and Flow and that show on Fox. Wow.
Awake?
Tachos?
She only talks when you're about to give your answer or when I say I want to fucking... What was your answer, Jason?
Is it Awake?
For 6 points, how
did, I get it?
Did you not only know this movie, but know that Terrence Howard was in it? Because I've seen it. I don't even remember a minute. Jason,
you
just scored an 18, which basically means welcome to the Tournament of Champions next. I hope you're free in January.
Yay! You do know who I'm engaged to, right?
Yes.
Well, she's really into Terrence Howard.
Hi,
so.
Felicia. Is that like... I don't mean that like a bad...
Hi, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia is like a bad thing, right? I meant like hi,
hi
Felicia.
Hi is good.
Yeah.
Hi.
Sorry.
Wait, bye, Felicia. She's never been told that before in her life. No, but yeah, I know a lot of Terrence Howard movies, so...
Okay.
There you go.
Question. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. I realize that two of these films are one-word titles, but I would like you to think of the three films that I just gave you in order and say the first word from each title.
Okay, Fargo, An American Werewolf, and
no,
Awake.
Just the first word. I realize they're one-word titles, but only say the first word of each.
Fargo in Awake.
Now, think about it for a sec. Heather, do you get it? She's probably not even on the...
Thea.
What? What are you just shouting one-word syllable things? Do you get it?
No, I didn't even know I was here.
Okay. Try this.
Oh!
What is it, Jason?
I get it.
What is it? He gets it.
Fuck you.
The problem is you can't find, without going back to like 50s, it's hard to find movies that start with just far or away. So it was basically far and away for Jason, which if you don't know what that's all about, you need to go back and listen because it's a whole thing.
Oh my God, that is so brilliant.
So, congratulations, Jason. This brings us to the end of the show. Do me a favor. Thank you again for being honest with this Halloween. Go ahead and shoot your plugs out one more time. Tell me, get your book, Time in My Hands, on Amazon. Soda Pop Podcast is on iTunes. Yep. What else?
LaroDiaWanted.com. That is all the episodes of podcast me and my friend Nolan host. We talk about bad movies.
Yeah. Listen to the one when me and Heather were on. It was great.
Yes.
We were fucking good.
Separately. You guys were on separately.
Yes. Yeah, as we always
will be. We should get you on together. That would be interesting.
Oh, if only I could get together with Heather on a fucking podcast.
That's so nice.
Hey, if you were
I don't know what's happening right now.
She wasn't even on the show for half of it. So anyway, Heather, what do we want to plug, darling?
You can follow us at MILFCast, at MILFCast. That's where we are on Instagram. You can also find us on Facebook, where there's all sorts of fun stuff going on regularly. You can follow Kai at Kiderman.
Heather's Midwest colloquialism.
Colloquialisms.
On, you know, that Twitter place where the people twat on Twitter. I am also there at Heather_Kenobi. And you can follow Kai at The Amazing Kiderman on Instagram. Also, and when he has a website officially and all of his stuff, I think you should go there and buy his shit. Because I said so.
Definitely. I've already got stickers. I just got a badass Spider-Man pin that I drew. I just got him in yesterday. Come check him out at The Amazing Kiderman Instagram. If you want one, DM me. We'll figure something out. So, that's about it. I could do this all day, but there's a bit of a drink, movie scene, trick or treat, or some shit to do. Probably watch Stranger Things. So we'll see you guys next time. Heather?
How does Lady Gaga like your steak?
How?
Rah, 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 rah.
Wow. She brought it back around, in fairness. She brought it back to Raw.
Yeah. I knew I was going to forget about it, so I wrote it down in my crazy person notes.
Wow. Yep, there she goes.
I fucking like
Oh man.
And there she goes again. That's good, Jason.
Thank you.
Is Heather with us or no?
Guess not.
Well, I'll just start to enjoy the silence.
I haven't been with you for
Dude,
a while.
Jason? Did you see that?
Yes.
Every fucking time?
Say, let's enjoy the silence.
I say, let's enjoy the silence, and you pop right back on like you're here to haunt me. You're the ghost.
I am the ghost.
But Kai, Heather died 5 years ago.
What?
Oh, not.
And then I just had a realization. That's why we really went on hiatus, and now I'm like 2 years later, I couldn't take it anymore. My brain snapped, and I had to have a podcast with Heather, so I made her up in my brain, and everybody comes on is just really polite to me because they feel bad. And I'm really just sitting here doing a psycho thing, doing a girl's voice and a guy's voice.
Yep. And then now she's gone.
That's pretty good.
No, she's not gone. You don't hear that?
No.
Okay.
I'm here. No, only you hear me, Kai.
You're like the worst conscience, voice of conscience.
Because I'm not a good conscience.
I better go get my phone. I'll be right back. Let me get my phone.
Okay.
Is she there?
I don't understand what's happening. It's not saying I'm disconnected from your end.
Are you using a mic?
It has nothing to do with that. It's Skype.
No. I'm just asking. Are you using a mic?
I'm using the one I use every episode, yes.
Oh, did you hear the tone in which she just spoke to me, Jason? Because she's already like, I use it every episode, motherfucker. You're not going to say nothing new to me. Listen.
Look, I don't get in the middle of married people's beef, all right? You guys want to fight on your own time.
It felt like a married person fight.
I'm so going to fucking bash something into the wall. Now I'm in a good mood.